Father, we thank you for your greatness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your mercy. Father, thank you. May we be among those who always come back to acknowledge that it's because of you our week has come this far. May we make room to say thank you. That's all we gather every Sunday, just to come and say, it is because of you. It is all because of you. We come to say thank you, to offer you our thanksgiving, our gratitude, and to always acknowledge before everybody that you are the reason. You are our provider, our strength, our source of all things. Father, may we continuously be grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts this morning. Thank you. We are grateful. Father, open our eyes. Help us to see and gain understanding. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In getting understanding, grant us wisdom. And Father, in getting wisdom, help us not to be just emotional Christians, but obedient to us. Amen. First to receive your word and obey. Thank you that we might be the fruit and might be the good of the land.
Amen.
Receive all the glory in all that you do and will continue to do. And there is nothing in us that can do it by your spirit. So Father, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We thank God for technology. Amen. For those who travel might be able to join us and not miss what God is saying to us. Amen.
Amen.
Last Sunday, because of the acceleration of what God is doing in our midst, the leadership really felt, I felt really an urgency for us to do kind of a quick teaching and just to catch us up on hosting the glory of the Lord. Hosting the glory of the Lord. So, I'm just going to cover a lot of things this morning. And I want to encourage us, as we said last week, be as wise as the Berean church. This is a teaching, a summarization of certain things that will require that you go study and give you scriptures. And it will help you to really embrace a lot that will not be said. But time will not permit this morning. Amen. We might continue as the Lord leads to establish this, but I really felt I needed to take these two Sundays to get some things out of the way, because the Lord is surprising us, and I want us to be able to sustain and sustain us what it began to do. Amen.
I made a few notes here
so that we can be able to cover a few things today together. First of all, I'm glad you're here. I pray that you will not take this moment for granted. Listen carefully to what you're going to learn today. That's what we're both. And for those that are watching online, the same. And for those that are watching later, And this thank God is recorded. People can go back first Sunday and the Sunday beginning of this process. First, this world was created by God. Amen. The person who created this world is spirit. It's his spirit, is God. And when he created this world, and after he created this world, he put man on it with a purpose.
Amen.
He put man on it
with a purpose. You all know he started with Adam
and Eve. And so, there's a problem. Here is man in the earth, human. And here is a creator that is totally spirit. So God created man, and ever since he created man, so that there will be a connection, a bridge, and a fellowship between the earth and the heaven. God didn't create man to just leave man there and say, alright, man don't have an idea why they are here. So the person that created must give you purpose for why you were created. Amen?
Amen.
Computer are made for purpose, this chair was made for a purpose. Amen. Everything that we use is made for a purpose. So God created man with a purpose. And that purpose is for fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. So how can a spirit fellowship with a mortal man, a carnal man? There must be a connection. So that has been a problem with man from the beginning. Understanding the purpose for which you are here. So when God created Adam and Eve, he started introducing that purpose. And that purpose was fellowship. God's glory covered them, but they didn't really know the mystery of why they didn't know they were naked. The glory covered them, the righteousness of God, the presence of God. And God communed with them. They spoke, they were talking. And everything they had was great and was beautiful, was wonderful. God gave them power, dominion to govern, to rule.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there are things that man has not been able to have proper knowledge of, except later after Jesus came, and then through the New Testament, this mystery started being explained. But there's something man has not been able to understand very well, and that is the flesh. So, and the spirit. So Adam, having received a word from the Lord that there are certain things God requires of man, and there are certain things God gives man liberty.
Amen.
There's only one thing God required of Adam and Eve. He just told them, don't eat of that, the fruit of that tree. The day you eat it, you die. Basically, we're going to be separated. Sin, disobedience will disconnect us. So, what Adam and Eve did not understand about the flesh is that man doesn't really understand the holiness of God. That this loving, kind, wonderful, merciful God, when he's disobeyed, can easily become your enemy. Because holiness means he can never alter himself, which is his word. So when he speaks, he's bound by who he is. That's what holiness is. The word, the fear of the word. So, with this ignorance in mind, that initially introduced the first revelation to every human race that God needed to be taken seriously or reverence.
Amen?
Amen? 1 minute he was fellowshipping with Adam. They were enjoying, they had everything. and intentionally, it's not ignorant, intentionally violated, disobeyed. And he gave them opportunity to repent. They still are giving excuses. And then they were caught up. Amen? So, I started with that first to let you know that the spiritual world and the natural world are not supposed to be disconnected. That was in God's intention. But ever since the fall of man, there was a disconnect. From that moment on, the agenda of man is now programmed by flesh and enforced by Satan himself, the God of Israel. So ever since then, men have been blinded from the purpose of which they live here and the kingdom that truly has their benefit at heart, which is the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
So this flesh is like a wild horse. He does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and has no accountability. That's just the nature of the flesh. So ever since then, man became self-driven, lust-driven, pride-driven. What does that mean? I don't need God. I don't need him, and I don't need his purpose. I don't want a relationship with him. And that's because that is the condition of the fallen man. Just natural. So, from that moment, as a good father, God being who he is, has always been crying out to redeem his people and to redeem their purpose. It's not ignorant, but that's the way he chose to do. So one of the, you see through scriptures, I want to mention a few, how God's heart cries out for his children that are in the world, or his children that are lost, to come back to him. Amen?
Willingly.
One of them, he cried in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22:10. He says, God was crying, he says, shall I find one that shall stand in the gap for my people? It was a cry. Heaven had a cry. Shall I find one, someone that can stand in the gap that these people will not be destroyed because sin has prevailed? Shall I find one that will stand in the gap? And he says, I found none. And then judgment came on Israel. But it's also a prophetic cry for the future. Why is God saying, shall I find one? In that scripture, if you go read it, God had pastors, priests, he had prophets, he had kings, he had princes, he has God's people, the children of Israel. So what does it mean? I'm looking for one. In the midst of all these people that are already covenant God's people, what is he saying, shall I find him? Because God has a due order for certain needs to be met on the earth. And before you can actually be able to meet the requirement of heaven, to bring about deliverance, to bring about salvation, to bring light to a generation that is lost in darkness, first, you must discover what man has lost. Amen? And you must make room for God first. And when you make room for God, then God will be able to show you what is the problem and what is heaven's solution. And if you're able to know that and to grant that, then you become that one that solves the problem. So the word in Ezekiel 22:30 is the word for intercessor. Intercessor. That is Jesus' highest office in heaven, right? is exactly what he came to the earth for on the cross. Intercession is not just kneeling and praying. It's more than that. It's, God is looking for a habitation. No man can allow God to freely rule your life unless the first of all surrender to die to self, which is what drives every man. So, having said that, there's another scripture again about the cry of God for an intercessor, for somebody in the earth, somebody that is in flesh. You have to have somebody in the flesh to bridge the gap between the natural and the spiritual, that God does not want separation. God wants to dwell in the midst of his people. But sin has brought separation and division. So, in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1, the Lord was crying. He said, the heaven, we sang in our great hour, the heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. He talks about the stars and all these great things God has made. Amen? And he says, my hands have made these things. Amen? But then he says, where is the house that you built for? In other words, I'm looking for a place to connect in the earth. A place I can call home. A place I can dwell. So that I can relate to man in the flesh. And then they will relate to me in the spirit. I need a sanctuary. I need a house. And then, he doesn't just want a house. God, knowing his holiness, that is what he cannot alter, knowing who he is, said, the house that I'm looking for must be somebody that is a broken and a contrary. Basically, one that has discovered what it takes to give up self, give up pride and lust, and exchange it for selfless life, which is humility and submission to God. Amen? So that's the cry of heaven. And that cry has been all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So in every generation, God is looking for somebody who will hear that cry and willing to pay the price to become a dwelling place for God. If you fast forward, you will see that in the Old Testament, so many people walked in it, but there's one man who truly heard the cry of God and heard the heart cry, the brokenness of God. Wanted to be that intercessor. And to be that intercessor, he has to give God a dwelling place. Because no man can intercede but God. And when that man discovered the place, you can read about him a lot and see that he discovered God's heart cry. He really had it. He knew the price. He knew what it would take. And he went after it. And his man, his name is David. And God testified to every generation that this man is a man that discovered my heart. It's a man that's after my heart. And many are after my hands. And God used David as a model, as a standard, that when Jesus came, he manifested exactly that standard David laid. And the Bible calls Jesus, he came from the roots of David. Amen?
Amen.
Now, having said this, I want to walk us through a little bit of a journey this morning. And the reason is, what the Lord has started here might not be very clear to a lot of people, but it's got the fear of God to me. And I don't know the acceleration and intensity, but I know you are living in an atmosphere, a new season that requires what you're about to hear. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some scriptures I'll read, some I'll give to you, and I really plead with you to please be wise to study them. They will really, really help. Amen. They will help. They will help. And we are preparing and positioning ourselves for where God is taking us as a body, as a church. Let's begin with Exodus 25. Exodus chapter 25. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 25. I'll read from 8 and 9. Exodus 25, 8 and 9. And God spoke to Moses. He said, let them make me a sanctuary. Amen?
Amen.
Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. You see, that's a hard cry of God. God of Israel. That I may dwell among them. Verse 9. When you make the sanctuary, it says, make it according to all that I showed thee after the pattern of the tabernacle. And the pattern of all the instruments thereof. Even so shall you what? Make it. You see, like he did with Adam, like he did with all through the Bible, God has a throne, and God rules and reigns in the heavens, and it's a holy God on us, but in the earth, he wants to dwell with us in the earth, but also, he cannot just come and just live in houses made in the heavens. There is something that God requires for him to be able to be noticed. Because he's a holy God. And he's a righteous God. And his presence carries a lot of power. Amen?
Amen.
Let me give you an example. There's an electric wire here, isn't it? Why do we have to put the wire insulated and put it so that we can use it? We're using it. We could have, if he has a naked wire here, you can't use it. Why? Because that thing has power. You touch it, it kills you. It shocks you. So you have to create something around it for you to be able to use it. For that thing to be used. So God wants to dwell in our midst, but he knows that flesh and blood will die if the right atmosphere is not created. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, on earth as it is in heaven. And this morning I want to walk you through quickly one of the best ways that Jesus has taught, the Old Testament has taught, the Bible teaches, is one of the ways I best understand it. I watch God will use the natural and break it down and use the natural to show something as a type and a shadow. And then it brings you to the spiritual and gives you understanding of the spiritual. So we are going to look at the natural with Israel, and then we'll be able to understand the spiritual. Remember, the subject is called hosting God's glory. So God says, build me a sanctuary. But build it according to what I showed you. According to what I revealed to you. So, for time, most of you know this, some of you might not. You can go study Leviticus and Exodus. God gave Moses a detailed pattern of everything that is required for God to be in the midst. He gave him a detailed pattern of a tabernacle. He gave him the details of every aspect, the outer court, the holy place, the holy place. And then he gave him details of everything that needs to be in it. And then each of them, he gave details of how they needed to be consecrated. Then he gave details of how the ark needed to be carried as they moved. And he gave details of how to carry the ark, to reposition the ark, and to take it up. He gave them, he did not want them to miss anything. So he gave them details of everything. Amen?
Amen.
Why the subject hosting the glory of God? Because God so desires, so passionately crying for us as his children to be with him. But somehow, from the fall of man, we are too familiar that we don't understand the glory of God. That the fear of God means we need to also honor the things that God requires for him to remain, for his glory to be. Just let me tell you really quickly. I know we're going to see a lot. But just to give you a quick example. Do you know what it means to have the Ark of the Covenant of God? Means the glory of the Lord. The children of Israel had it and they became so familiar with it. In the days of Eli, they were so familiar with it that they were doing all manner of things in the sanctuary where the ark is. And this was the thing that was set aside to maintain, to sustain, to be stewards of the glory of God, the ark. So they took it for common, for granted, and they want to use it to go to war when they like, and they want to get how, they want to do things anyhow, and they won't go. And they took it to battle, and the ark was taken away by a hidden nation. And the Bible said a child was born by one of Eli's children, and the name of that child was Glory Has Departed. So the glory can depart. It can be lifted. As close as Adam was to God, as soon as Adam took God's word for granted, there was a separation. That's the fear. So, the reason for the subject is to take us through a little bit of history. That many people have not taken time to study not only how to bring back the ark or to bring back the glory, but how to sustain it, how to be stewards of a holy presence, and also a plentiful presence, how to bridge that gap. Amen?
Amen.
So let's look at a little bit of history. So, God says, build me a sanctuary. And Moses did none of them. Amen. But there was an altar that was raised up. And I will give you, there was an altar that was raised up. Make a note of Leviticus 10. The study number 1. You can do 9 and 10. What happened was, as soon as they built it, God now had to consecrate. Everybody say consecrate. That means a lifestyle that sets you apart to be a steward of God's presence. You can't live anyhow, do things anyhow like everybody else, and wants to be somebody who is in charge of something. Amen? So, the Levites, the Aaron's lineage, out of that were trained and consecrated, set apart, and requirements were put upon them. Because they are the people closest and stewards of the tent, the tabernacle, the whole, everything to do with it, and then the ark, which is the glory of God. So now God says, I'm coming, Moses, I'm going to be your miss, I'm going to go with you as you have desire, but these are the requirements. Amen?
Amen.
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 Everybody say amen.
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 So as soon as it was done, God is a supernatural God. And God wanted to show Israel from the time he brought them out, he wants to maintain that supernatural presence in the midst. So the first sacrifice God told Moses and Aaron to do. They did it. They set the sacrifice, put it. Just God wants to start something with them. This is the beginning of a move of God. The Ark sanctuary was just said, the glory came, and they put his sacrifice, and all of a sudden, fire came from heaven, came out, and just devoured the sacrifice. Amen? Amen? That authentifies, that authenticates is supernatural. That makes God God in their midst. So the people believed that they worshiped, they were excited, they were very happy. In Leviticus 10, all of a sudden, the very Aaron's elder sons set apart to steward, to sustain this move of God. The first thing they did was they started a sacrifice and they started putting strange fire to it. They started bringing the arm of the flesh. And the Bible says, the fire came this time, but it didn't come to consume the sacrifice, it came to kill. Both of them died on the altar immediately. You see the fear of God. They died on the altar because they put flesh. They wanted to be recognized that they are the ones doing it. They wanted people to look to them. They died. And immediately God spoke to Moses, tell them not to even attempt to mourn or cry, because by them mourning and crying means they justify God as a force. And God is just as their brother. Aaron says, Aaron shouldn't cry. And then he told Aaron and his family not to even go to the face of the throne, because the anointing oil had been set apart for the purpose of God. And if God did that, they should see the seriousness. My God, you do not carry the anointing of God and not find how he promises God. Amen? That's the Old Testament. That's what I'm saying. We're starting somewhere. So now, how many of you, just so I can move forward or pause? How many of you understand that the Ark of the Covenant was put in the Holy of Holies and in the tent, and the glory of God rested, and God followed them to that 40 years of the Ark of the Covenant with cloud by day and fire by night? How many of you know that? Just wait by me. You know that? Okay, alright. If you don't know that, when the tent was built, or even the temple, the only thing that differentiates every building, every tent, any place you call a house or temple, the only thing that made it different from every other building is the Ark. Because the Ark in the Old Testament is the symbolism of the presence of His glory. Amen?
Amen.
And that's where God speaks to them. So the Ark represented the glory of the Lord, apart from the workings of angels and everything God has called them to. Amen? It was the glory of the Lord when God comes and sits on the master's seat. So I wanted to make sure we understand that together. So if the Ark is the glory of God, amen, and the presence of God. By the way, if I flip this box and make it very well, the Ark is just a box with a seat on it. Amen?
Amen.
But it was covered in pure gold. Inside is the tables of commandment. So it's a box, but it's not just a box. It's a pattern of things in heaven. And it was consecrated, and God comes and rests upon us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, that is now what God used to lead Israel through the fourth, speaks from there and spoke to Moses. So now that we are on that same page, that means, first of all, Moses cried out, God, we want your glory. We want your presence. Amen? We want to restore that which was lost. We were created, you created us for you. So please, we thank you for the angels, they will still go with us. But we need our Father with us. We need you. That was Moses crying, Exodus 10. So God answered that. Then God says, you have to do something for me to come. Amen? And then Moses did that. And then God came. So two things is one, how to restore the original purpose for which we were created, which is for a habitation of God's presence, which is a relationship with our Maker, which is bridging the gap between the spirit and the physical, and understanding our purpose. So, if that purpose, if that reality is not your reality, then Jesus says, seek it as priority. First, the kingdom. Moment you say, knock, seek, ask. So, now Moses did that in the Old Testament. God, thank you for the miracles. Thank you for bringing us out of Egypt. Thank you. But you brought us out so that we can do it. So, what do we do? God said, build me a place. Do this. Moses sought, they cried. God says, I will come, and then we build the place. So the first thing is, God, when he finds a people, a generation, that are so desperate to be restored to his presence, this is season and process they go through. And after that is met, God comes. Amen?
Amen.
The other is how to steward it. How to sustain it. So we're going to look and see that all through generations, many people never knew how to sustain or maintain or host such an incredible blessing. Not for us, but for the benefit of us. Except the New Testament apostles. So the first place here, glory came. I used Aaron's children as the first. The first thing they just wanted to take the glory for it, and they died. You can see. Then they continued. Then we come to Eli's home, just to give you an example. Eli was a high priest. He is a head pastor, head leader for the whole Israel, and knew every condition that was put to sustain the ark. Amen?
Amen.
And then the children are just called into that life, lineage and that lifestyle. Because they should be consecrated when they went out. They took this flesh for granted. Everybody that takes this flesh for granted, it will bite you. This flesh is the most evil thing in the face of the earth. Because it's a manifestation of the fall of God made a way for us to be able to overthrow and live this flesh. And in the New Testament, it actually says this flesh can never connect to me again. So I have to give you a new nature. You have to be born again. Nothing good in the flesh makes sense. So now, they took this flesh for granted and did not consecrate themselves. And gradually, they lost the fear of God, the focus on how to preserve and sustain the ark. And in the midst of all that was happening, there was a war. Everybody said, war.
War.
The things we go through in life, the battles we face, and all these things we go through. And they took the ark to the battlefront. Amen?
Amen.
With the impression that, you know, looking at the past, now the ark has come to war. We're going to win. Amen?
Amen.
This is a part of all true Israel's lives. Let me go quickly. Took it to war, and the worst ever happened in Israel's history happened. The enemies of Israel, the Philistines, they were afraid initially, but they went on to war. And they went and they defeated Israel. And guess what? They carried the ark of God to the temple of their God. I want to write the scripture down. 1 First Samuel 5, chapter 5 to chapter 7. Four was the one, five. They carried the God, the ark, to their God.
Amen.
Amen. What happened? They put in there. The first day they came to the temple where they put it, their God fell, Dagon fell flat on them. Dagon was the powerhouse of the gods of the Philistines. It was the God of the Philistines. It was an image. And it fell flat. In other words, he bowed. Fell flat. So they came and they were surprised. Their God they worshipped all these years fell flat. So they said, no. They put it again. Amen. They came the next day, didn't fall flat. This time the head was chopped off.
Yes.
The hands were chopped off. The feet were chopped off. And they were afraid. And the Bible says they never came to that temple. Amen.
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 So what happened now? As soon as they saw that, now we're talking about where the glory is. Talking about hosting the glory. You can see the world cannot host God. They started plague broke out, emeralds, boils. They started having bad boils, chronic boils, and they started dying from it. Why? The glory of God is in town and we don't know what to do. And the thing that is supposed to give life is causing it. The wages of sin is death. Why? Not because. So they started dying. And they cried out to the Lord of the Trinity, what do we do? Everybody's getting sick, dying. Play. It's because of the God of the children of Israel. What do we do? They said, you know what? Let us consult. They went and consulted their demonic care, like the priest, instead of their own. And the people said, you know, based on the idea, we sacrifice to our God. So let's sacrifice to their God and find a way to let him go. Let's put him around a cart, put a donkey or something, and build a new cart, put it there, and just let that donkey just takes it to the next town. Then we know that we are okay. This was after several people were dying. People were wasted in the same place because of not knowing how to what it is. So they put it on the donkey. And we put in the new car, and they saw the thing came towards Beth-Hemish. You see the Beth-Hemish. They got to Beth-Hemish, and they went back and said, thank God they are free from this thing. And the donkey carried it into Beth-Hemish. We got to they were harvesting their field, and they saw the ark coming. You know, some of them are Israelite Jews. They got excited, and they went and brought the ark and brought it into their place. Remember the glory of God. They didn't know how to use it. They didn't know what to do with it. They did not inquire how will this work? How do you host the glory of God? What is the glory of God? So they brought it and they said, okay, we'll sacrifice, we'll do this. And somebody went and opened it. You know, they think it's just a box. Let's see what is inside this box. 50,000 died. No, 50,070. King James says 70. Some of you don't know what 70 is.
Amen.
50,000 people. Imagine it's the biggest stadium, Yankee Stadium, filled with people gone from one city. Just like that. Because they took, they didn't know what this is, and they went to play. As soon as that happened, they cried out, what do we do? What do we do? And as they were wasting time, people started getting plagues again, sickness, boils, and people said, and they got afraid. What do we do with the glory of God? These are people that they're not Christians, okay, they're Israel, but not serious. They didn't know what to do with it. Amen.
Amen.
I just want you to fast forward before we continue. You know, Paul, after having experienced God, said, And we should be careful how we handle God. There are many people die that are sickly and other. So anyway, they started dying. So quickly, they cried out, and they started calling the people of another city. I wanted to read it to you, but time will not permit us. We're going somewhere really quickly. But they started crying for the city, another city, Kijamjarish or something. It was a wrong pronunciation. They started calling for the people of that city. Come and help us. We don't know what to do. And there are people in that city that had a little knowledge and wealth. So the people from that city came and took the ark to the home of Abinadab. Amen?
Amen.
And they left the ark there. Amen? It's okay. And they left the ark there. Amen?
Amen.
They left the ark in the home of Abinadab. Everybody say Abinadab.
Abinadab.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, this is the beginning of our message for today. Everything I told you is to catch you up. Amen.
Amen.
If you understand the seriousness of this, you will understand why I'm doing this foundation. The rest of the thing I'm going to share with you, we're going to read and we'll go quickly. We want the glory of God, but we don't want the responsibility. We want the power of God, but we don't want the sacrifice. What happened here now is Saul, after all these things was happening, Saul was made the first king of Israel. And God has made a covenant with Israel and the ark as his presence and as his reign. So what happened? Saul became king, a ruler, like Adam was given power on behalf of the church, to this church or Israel. The best thing Saul would have done was to bring back and say, God, you lead us. He did not do that. For 40 years, 40 years, my brothers and sisters, 40 years, Saul led Israel, walked with Israel, ruled over Israel, and did not think about God's presence. Did not think about bringing back the ark of the Lord for the glory. Why? He didn't prepare for it. He had no relationship. He had no hunger. He just wanted to rule. He just wanted to be a church leader. He just wanted to be a government. He just wanted to be a preacher. He just wanted to, without understanding the gospel. He just wanted to use his gift. So now, Saul was rejected by God after a while. So here, we begin. Now, we're going to be long. Let's read this. So, 1 Chronicles 12, if you want to write it down, was when David now became king after Saul died. So David started, thank God we're in the book of Nehemiah, it's not a coincidence. God really set up Nehemiah because that's where we're going. That's where we're going. David did exactly put a lot of tribes, everybody in the place of their gifts, set up the government, set up the kingdom, set up everything. All the tribes, everybody now came to David and said, you're going to be our king for the whole Israel. Now, the very reason for which David was anointed has come. The very purpose for which he has been prepared all his life has come. And the first thing David did, let's read from 1 Chronicles 13. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And then he said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seems good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, Let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also the priests and the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again, everyone say again.
Again.
It was departed. The church can exist without God.
Yes.
Program and religion can substitute God. Let us bring it again. The ark of our God to us. Listen for this. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. 40 years. They never thought, the leader never even thought about enthroning God in their presence. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David, listen to this. So David gathered all Israel together from Shechem of Egypt, even unto the entry of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kibron Hatta. That's the place where they left it at Abinadab's house. Amen.
Amen.
After all these years. Verse 6. Now, I want you to watch this from what I've been saying. And David went up, and all Israel together, that is to Kibron Hatta, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, this is the ark of God the Lord, that dwelt between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart. Listen to this. Out of the house of what? Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. And David and all Israel played before God and all the might with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals and with, oh my, talk about an orchestra.
Amen.
Celebrating God. And when they came onto the threshing floor of heaven, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand flesh to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord has made a breach of Uzzah, wherefore the place is called Uzzah to this day. Now listen to the heart of a true revivalist, a man who loves God. When this thing happened, David said, so David brought not. No, verse 12. And David was afraid of God that day. The fear of God. He didn't say, oh, let's just continue. Let's continue. The fear of God came upon David. And this is the question that he asked. How shall I bring the ark of God? God doesn't come anyhow. The move of God doesn't just happen. Salvation is free, but it's sacrifice. How do I host God? First, how do I bring God back? The glory of God, not the hands of God. Yes, but how do I bring the glory of God back? Amen? So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom. And the ark of God remained with the family of Abinadab in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Abinadab and honor your heart. There's always a blessing when you're close to God. Now, let's go quickly to verse 15. John to verse 15. So they put the ark away. Amen? The glory of God, how do we bring it back? So David went and inquired from, went back to the history book, went back to the Bible, went back to everything, and he started seeking how the ark, how does God come? How does God move again? What do we need to do? After he made an inquiry, this is what he found out. Let's go quickly to verse 12. 15:12. And David said unto them, that's the Levites and the priests. The ark was supposed to be carried by the Levites, the priests, on their shoulders. And he said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves. Consecrate yourself. Both you and your brethren, that you may bring up, that you may carry the ark of the Lord, God of Israel, into the place that I have prepared for him. So one, we are inviting God to come, but when he comes, where is he going to come? Where have we prepared for him? Amen? Where is the house? So, verse 13, listen to what David said. But because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. We want God, but we want God on our terms. We want God just like the way we want anything. He is God. Amen? So David says, we did not seek him the right way, and then that is coming, we did not follow the process. This is the Old Testament. God teaches us through the natural to understand this. So now that David has discovered the right way and told them the right way, so now the priests, the Levites, sanctify themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord of Israel to him. Amen.
Amen.
So they did the right thing, prepared the right way, and they went and they brought the ark. You can read it in 1 Samuel. Read it. You see where David now started dancing. They sacrificed. They did the Lord. They worshipped. They were bringing God. They were spending time. The blood. They sacrificed. They worshipped. They were doing all this. And all of a sudden, they were able to bring it back. David prepared a tent for it. The tent of David is different from the tent of Moses. We're going into that. Amen.
Amen.
The tent of Moses was full of sacrifice and blood. The tent of David discovered worship. What God was wanting was human beings who are after the heart of God. So now that the ark has come, now this is where we are. When something begins, how do you steward it? How do you sustain it? And how do you sustain it so that that thing can serve its purpose and not serve the opposite? So we go to 1 Chronicles 16. Please study these whole chapters and really soak what you're going to learn. So we go to 1 Chronicles 16. So, verse 1. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offering before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offering and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Let's go to 4. Verse 4. And David appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Amen. Asaph, the chief, that's where they get worship leader from. It was the chief worship. It was in charge. When you hear worship leader, sometimes people don't study their Bible. Say, where the worship leader? He's here. Asaph was the chief, was the worship leader. And they study their people, train to help others, equip others that are skilled. Everything had its proper order. Asaph, the chief. And next to him, Zechariah, the Levites, and then he says, He talks about all that they do. This one does the drums, this one does this, this one does that. This one samples and this one halves. But Asaph made a sound with the samples. He plays drums. Verse 6. Then Aaron saw and named all his and the priest of the trumpet. This is what I want you to see. With the trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, what David experienced, this is where God, this is where man died came. When he went to Jerusalem, he established that place, called it the city of David. And then he built this temple called Mount Zion. Out, if you're out of Zion, everything David revealed, God revealed to him about Zion was how to fix the glory of God. Unknown to that generation that David was a prophet. If you study the Bible, he was one of the most powerful prophets of the Old Testament. Psalms, he saw the crucifixion of Jesus. He saw a lot ahead of that. Saw the future. Here, David was the only person that truly called the heavenly Jerusalem by name and duplicated it on earth. Hebrews says, we have not come to the mountain of Horeb, where you know Moses, but we have come, verse 22, we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company. The church of the firstborn, the general assembly, the saints, the spirit of justice, can go on and on. David received the pattern of heaven and downloaded it on earth. Just like God told Moses, take this pattern and build. David took the spiritual pattern and built. And David hosted God on earth as it is now. And the glory of the Lord. How did he host God? First, the glory came. Now he hosted God. How did he host God? The key word was, he appointed people to minister. Amen.
Amen.
Go click that word. That's your study. Click in Hebrew that word minister. And you know what you're going to find? In Hebrew, the word means worshippers. Humble worship. So what David was experiencing in the Old Testament, Jesus came and embodied. And then what Jesus came and embodied, David was saying, is what John, God took John in the Spirit, in the book of Revelation, and brought him and said, this is the true will of God. And this is how it is in everybody, the elders, the this, they worship God in hand with samples. David received what was happening and brought it on earth. And hosted the glory of God. So, what happens when you host God? What happens when God comes and you host Him? Let me give you a few instances. In the book of Acts, when God came, we saw what happened. The Holy Spirit started a walk, and God started healing, saving, harvesting, delivering, raise the dead, blind man. Who is doing it? The Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
And when they started hosting God, I want you to notice this. When it started happening, the harvest, this started happening. You know what happened? Immediately, they were going to be pulled away from hosting. And Peter says, no. We are going to raise up people with different giftings. The areas that are called, people with the Holy Ghost, people that love God, but this is their area, they might be the hand or the leg. But for us, we are going to host Him. We're going to stay in prayer, and we're going to keep our focus on the work. So we can stay the ship where it needs to go. They were not distracted. They knew their calling, and they hosted God well. Not one apostle. Not one among the 120 ever mentioned. Not one fell, not one missed their mark. They all died glorious. Not one fell. Not one was recorded in the Bible that ever fell. They finished their course. And many of them died as martyrs. Because they all stepped. They knew what consecrated life is. You cannot want God and eat pizza like everybody 20 times a day. Eat, you do everything. Read the Bible. For you to be set apart, there is a cause. Samson, don't drink this, don't do that. When Samson disobeyed, something happened. Amen? Other people can do whatever they like. But when you carry the oil hosting God, you are set apart.
Amen.
And there's a price.
Amen.
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 I went to a very big meeting in Washington, D.C. Not a presidential prayer breakfast. It happens to be the day I'm fasting. I paid $250 for that food. That's what they charge all of us. And I didn't know it. The people were eating, they wanted to bring back plate. I said, I'm okay. I just drink water. Because I was under consecration. Sometimes there's a price to pay. The food, $251, the people on the table were looking at me. I said, I have the food that you know that I'm eating. Samson defied his consecration. Different people divide. So, why am I saying that the glory of God increased in the book of Acts? Because the people followed the example of Jesus. And this started happening. Now, to tell you that the New Testament and the Old has some similarity. The glory of God became so thick. The Bible says the fear of God increased, meaning the glory was so heavy as it increased, and things were happening. All of a sudden, a guy called Ananias and Sapphira came in. Yeah, Christian, good people, sold their land, made a lot of money. All they did was just tell a little lie. Where the glory is, they die. The other one came and said, Peter said, do you know about this? The wife lied also. He said, let the same people that carried your husband carry you. She died. So we want the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
This same electric wire that is giving us life can kill us if we touch it wrong. We want to see the lame walk, the blind see. Thank God for the anointing, but the glory of God to sustain and to carry His presence, we must keep ourselves. We must give up the appetites others can enjoy. So, if you fast forward, my brothers, let me ask you a question, and I will continue next week. Have you ever asked yourself, the book of Acts, who read it when it started? Can you ask yourself, do you know after Peter, John left, 1,000 years, from the apostles to just barely when Martin Luther came on the scene, John Huss and a bunch of them, there was not a trace in reality of the glory of God. It was this. Even speaking in tongues was never existing. It came to the point the Bible never existed because the Catholic Church took it and tossed it somewhere and created their own church. And the whole world lived in almost 1,000 years. This speaking in tongues and all this we're doing just came back in the last 1900s. That's how much the glory is. Because something has polluted. So a group of people were crying for God's glory and ways. You hear me talk about it. What am I trying to say? God can restore something that you realize is missing. But if you don't realize it's missing, you can sit in church, go to church, and live out this whole generation of time. And never knew what God intended for us. in those, the cry that we're doing here, and God honored them and gave them his glory. It lasted 6 months. Why? Was that God's desire? No. He wants it to continue. But flesh did not understand. They didn't prepare. They didn't know that level of the weight of glory would come. They just wanted a little revival. But God came in a mighty way, and they were not ready. And this thing quenched after 6 months. But it changed the landscape of their country. Azusa Street, Los Angeles, from where most of were passed down the outpouring of the Spirit that came to Cleveland. A group of people, handful of people, more, less than the people in this room, felt the same way. I cannot just live and follow tradition and the ark is not here. And they cried and cried, and the ark came. The glory came. And God mightily recorded, shook that place, and people were receiving everywhere. It lasted 3 years. Why? Because when the glory comes and you're not fully prepared for it, people are going to hurt you. Jesus, they gossip about him every day. They accused him of all kinds of things. They did not, if you don't have love, if you do not die to self, if you know, they will call you all kinds of names. People, the devil, go and read the Bible, what they did to Jesus. Jesus said, they did to me, they'll do it. The betrayal and all the stuff that took place, the guy's heart was broken. He couldn't take it anymore. He died of the heart. That's when the Bible ended. But thank God, things are moving forward. All over to Cleveland. Why are we sharing this? Because I have seen the signs, the sign of the move of God in this place. I have seen water springing. I see drops of rain. I see something that many people have been crying for a long time. We've been waiting for a long time. And I believe if we have this understanding of and we intentionally consecrate ourselves and take the teachings. There's the training. I share all this to prepare us for training. We are going to host God's call. We're going to step out of it. We're going to allow this river to come. It's the river that does it. It's the river that does everything. But we have to learn how to host it, how to reverence. Amen? If like President Trump, so I'll say, when President Trump will pray that he comes here, unannounced, what will you do? Some people like Biden. So, when Biden comes here unannounced, what will you do? Amen. Just think about it. Just see him in that door, you lose it. Your day is gone. Amen?
Amen.
I can't forget when I used to be on television doing when I come back to prayer. I was shopping at a store in Chattanooga. I don't go to Chattanooga. I went to go pick up something. There's a lady that saw me and almost lost her breath. And we're wondering, he said, I see you on TV. Just because he saw me on TV. And then see me physically. We have to go ask, how much you want time on Trump? Do you? Yeah. When you're talking about the group of how do you host him? How do you honor him? How do you reverence him? How do you allow him to say, sir, you're here? You must have a reason. Please how do you? That's where we're going. That's where we're going. So that everybody will receive and enjoy the New Testament church that the ark has come back with. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to do a training down the road, but I will continue this way. But I'm telling you all this because we are in the summer, anything can start happening. I'm going to prepare the staff and different people. We don't go to do something. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, so good to see my brother here. I'm glad you came. My brother, God bless you. That's Kamal's brother. He's from Jamaica. Amen. They are tall people in Jamaica. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, something is happening. And something is about to overtake us. We are going to prepare the worshippers to know what to do. We're going to prepare the ministers to know what to do. So that when God is moving, the people we are appointed to do, to enthrone Him, to worship Him, leave God alone. He will do what He wants.
That's right.
All you just need to do is host Him. How do you host Him? He is good and is mercy. When God starts moving, it is done with Sister Bisola. He will come to this, he will come to this, he will come. You don't have to worry. His presence alone, when it gets heavy, you will find a place to lie down and not even go. Amen? So I want to prepare us for it. Amen? Because He's here. And He wants you to hear. And he wants to flow out of this. He wants to do this. He's been asking for a miracle. It will be the children. Amen. Let's stand up together. We're going to do the training. I shared all this for those who have heard. What I share with you will seem personal. Amen.
Amen.
You are all the children of God. And the Bible says, know you not that the Holy Ghost dwells in you under the temple. Amen.
Amen.
So my brothers and sisters, how do you host God inside and outside? Begin with studying the Bible. Go back like David did and say, how did it happen? How do I do it? To the Word. God is calling us first back to the Word. And then back to worship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if you are here this morning and you're watching, before we continue, what did God say to you today? What did you receive personally for yourself about God? There is a way to invite you to your house. There is a way to fellowship. Father, I thank you. You are calling us to be intercessors. Intercessors are people who give their life to the benefit of others. Intercessors are those who pay the price for you to come so you can help others through them. Father, may you not say, I found one. Father, how many years do we live in this world? 70? At the most, 100. And we have no way to offer our lives. We stand before you, and what are we going to say? We do not know our purpose. Have mercy on us. Father, today, you are preparing us in your glory. Let none of us, oh God, please this morning.
Amen.
Help us, oh God, to surrender to you.
Amen.
Help us to study your word.
Amen.
Help us, like David, to say, how shall I bring the Lord back to me? May we not leave this place without making a decision to live a consecrated life.
Amen.
Deliver us, O God, from eating and drinking, and not having balance. Father, deliver us from the cares of this life, and not having room for you. Father, deliver us from our pursuit of money, and not make room for you. Father, deliver us. Help us to create a sanctuary us and you into fellowship. So you can show us the things that are on your heart for other people. Thank you for hearing us. Continue to prepare us. We welcome your presence. Have your Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.